T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. The crew is assembled here in the studio on a very hot and sticky summer day. Seemed like a really great day for Sue to ride the bike into work, right? When it's 1,000 degrees.
I have zero control over that, but I have to go to dinner tomorrow and I can't be sweaty and disgusting. Therefore, I rode it today to be sweaty and disgusting.
Well, yeah, let's start with the electronic bike because we've been talking about this a lot, and it was...
You loved it, didn't you?
I did love it.
It's so fun.
It lived up to the hype.
Yeah, Dave and I
truly did.
Thank you for saying so.
Dave and I both rode it. So she rode it down from South City. And explain how the bike works, because people are going to think it's cheating. And maybe it is to a certain extent if you want it to be, but explain how it works.
Okay, the bike is just a heavier, normal-looking bike. Would you not say it's normal-looking?
It is. It looks like a regular bike or a hybrid, yeah.
And what it does is... You can turn it off and have no assist, so it's just a heavy bike, and you could be out riding, and it's heavier, and it takes you longer. But it's also fun. It's a commuter bike with a little bit of a fatter tire. But if you'd like, you can actually turn on, press a button, and it will give you 35% of the power you're putting in. So it won't just zip you around like a moped, but it will give you that much more power when you're pedaling.
Right. So I got on it first, and I started pedaling just down the sidewalk here before I went in the street. And once I got to that highest level, and I was pedaling pretty fast, but it kind of jarred me in the seat. Like, I'm like, whoa, this thing is going,
yes.
Right?
You missed the guy in the flatbed truck behind us, Mark, when you were going, he told Sue and me, he goes, yeah, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
You've seen the last of him.
You've seen the last of him, yeah.
You were flying.
Goes.
You really were.
Oh, I know. It was fun. You know, and I haven't had my fat ass on a bike in a while, so that was an unusual experience.
You are not a fat ass. But the second one is 60%, and then the third one. But you have to pedal. This is not a moped.
Right. So when I stopped pedaling, there was nothing there.
Yeah, there's
just
zero there.
But if you start to put a little effort into it, it will help you. Now, Sue, I must tell you right now that I looked at the radar, and you're going to need that electronic bike because here is what's happening right around, right around 6 o'clock. There's some pop-up showers that look like, now this radar is always wrong, but I would suggest getting home by 7. Okay.
Because all right, I'll haul it. I'll put it in 100%.
At 7:08, according to the radar, there's going to be some red and orange and stuff like that.
Oh, that's not good.
No, red
that's
is bad.
Not good at all.
Pink
and I was,
is the worst.
Before the show, I was joking with you about that, and lo and behold,
it
you
happened.
Did check the forecast?
Well, I did this morning, and you know how it changes. So I thought, I've got to do it today. Here's what made me happy. Watching you go up a hill going really fast, and then when you come back down, you just are grinning like a kid. That's what happened to me, and that's how I got fished into buying it.
No, and I completely understand. It was a lot of fun, so we'll call you an Uber if it's raining.
Thanks.
I would take you home tonight, but I'm going out to the event with Mark Cox and Eric Greitens.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That's kind of in the opposite direction. We have a bunch of things coming up here on the show. I got a bunch of audio I want to start with, some of which I haven't even heard yet, like this Richard Sherman 911 call. We'll get to that. Senator Blunt's coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk about COVID, the variants, Cuba, and infrastructure. That's all coming up. Mark's going to join us. Mark Cox is going to join us a little bit with a final plug for the event tonight. We have George Gray coming in today for The Price is Wrong. It's the third edition of The Price is Wrong. Mr. Klein has never been a part
I'm excited.
Of The Price is Wrong. So
it's great.
Sue, Andrew helped with some of the
Craigslist
items. Yeah, good. Because that way Dave can play along and he can offer some bids. We just have a little fun with it. George is the guy that is the voice on The Price is Right. He is a St. Louis native and a lot of fun. So we'll have fun with George in the 4 o'clock hour. And also in the 5 o'clock hour, I talked about this yesterday, Kenny Shue. He was on Fox this week, a couple of days ago maybe. Maybe it was yesterday. And he wrote a book called An Inconvenient Minority, The Attack on Asian American Excellence and the Fight for Meritocracy. There is an Asian angle to the CRT stuff that I think is fascinating, and Kenny is highlighting that. So a lot of stuff, plus an audio cut of the day. All right. Have you heard the Sue, have you heard any of this 911 call from the Miami condo stuff?
I have. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's rough to hear from. They're finally releasing some of this.
What's going on? Tell me exactly what happened.
I don't know. There's a lot of smoke going on. I can't see anything right now.
You see smoke? Sir.
Where are we going?
We got to go. Keep going.
You can hear the confusion.
Hello?
I mean, they have no idea what's going on.
Yes, I'm here.
What are you seeing?
I can't see nothing but smoke.
It seemed like something underground. Everything exploded down at 8777 Collins, Avenue.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am, the operator is asking
God.
If anyone are injured.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. Wait.
Wow.
We have them on the way out there.
I heard another one where somebody, the 911 operator, asked the woman if she could go down the stairs. She's like, no, there's no stairs. They're gone.
How was that woman even still around and didn't fall? I mean, that's the incredible thing. The people who did fall obviously couldn't call. I mean, that the whole thing is just freaky to think about.
There had to be, we haven't heard about this yet, but there had to be some condos, maybe not because of the way the buildings were, but wouldn't you think there would have been some condos that only fell halfway or something like that? And you're like, let's say you're in your bedroom. The rest of the building falls down, you come out, and that's all you see.
Oh, I see. But when you looked at that building, it looked like pretty complete, right?
It did.
I mean, a complete, maybe part of a stairwell, but that was about it.
Dave, will you set up the Richard Sherman stuff here? Richard Sherman, so you don't follow maybe the NFL as much as we do, but maybe you do. I don't want to
insult
you.
I like it, but I don't know
NFL
who Richard
fan.
Sherman
so Richard Sherman
is.
He won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Cornerback, one of the best in the NFL. He has been for years. He's also a really, really sharp guy. He's smart. Now, he's a little volatile at times. He said some things that have, you know, been controversial, but he is he's a sharp guy. Where did he go to? He went to a pretty.
I want to say, is it Stanford?
It might have been Stanford. I mean, he's well-educated. Anyway, so. Maybe you don't expect something like this from a Richard Sherman, but what happened? You had a 911 call in this instance, right?
Yeah, his wife Ashley called 911 after Richard was at the house, I guess, drunk, belligerent, threatening suicide.
Yeah, he was suicidal
and
also.
It got her to call 911, so she
911, what are you reporting?
I need officers to my house now. My husband is drunk and belligerent.
What's
to kill himself.
Stop. What's the address? Are there any weapons? Stop.
We took.
All right, so it's interesting because Dave told me, I have not heard this audio, but the one thing that Mr. Klein told me before we came in here is that the 911 operator is taking a lot of grief here. Right,
at least, you know, the Twitter army. So for what it's worth, she's getting a lot of grief.
Well, you
for
can
just
hear,
being
I mean, I think she's trying to get the address.
To get the address.
Right, which is right. Honestly, and I was playing this to Carl earlier, who used to work in dispatch. He said, well, getting the address is the most important part.
Right, well, and that's, I think, what you hear, but maybe it was bedside manner. Here's what it sounded like.
I'm saying there are no weapons, ma'am. There are no weapons.
You need to stop interrupting me so I can get the information I need to get officers expedited.
I need officers here now.
What's he doing that you think he's going to harm himself?
He's being aggressive. He has sent text messages. I took the keys out. They're in your car.
You can hear him in
he's
the
trying to
too.
Leave now in the house. He's being aggressive. He's wrestling with my uncle. He's threatening to kill himself. He has sent text messages to people saying he's going to hang himself. And he's saying that if the police show up, so please don't shoot is what I'm asking.
Okay, wait. Say that again.
He said if the police show up, that he'll try to fight them. So they need to understand that he is.
Okay. Been physical with anybody there? You said he's trying to fight your uncle.
Yes, it has.
Well, and that's an important point. You can see what she's doing there because that's known as suicide by cop. If you, you know, in most cases, you would have a gun, and people have done this before where they go after the police and they want to be shot in return. But that sounds, there's more of this, by the way. It's not good, is it?
How has it been physical?
He just tried to fight him.
Okay, trying to fight somebody and actually being physical is two different things. How has it been physical?
It's a 2016 black Mercedes. Richard, please stop. Richard, please stop. Please stop.
Is that a sedan, SUV?
It's just a black sedan, Mercedes SUV. It's Richard Sherman. Like, ma'am, this is like a emergency. I need officers here now.
Listen to me. I'm handling this. You need to stop telling me that.
Okay, I'd fire her right away. I definitely would fire the 911 operator. She's not someone
not
who
great.
Should be in that job. No.
Right.
And I don't care what the situation is. You're trying to calm someone down, not just lecture them in the middle of,
trauma,
someone trying to kill themselves.
Good heavens. Yeah.
I'm going to be with the Twitter army on that.
Sure.
Yeah. I really will.
Well, you know what? If you listen to the first part, you think, oh, okay. If you don't listen to this, that's the second where she really goes off the rails there.
Right.
I thought so, too. Then there is exclusive audio that has been leaked from the talk of Sharon Osbourne, Sue.
Oh, dear.
I know. So I sent this to Dave. I'm walking by. We were doing some stuff earlier, and I walked by the TV monitor and saw that, and the audio wasn't on. So I have not really heard all of this, but
what's
this is Elaine Welteroth. So this is when you had this incident back in March where Cheryl Underwood accused Sharon Osbourne of giving validation to something that Piers Morgan said after, this is the Meghan Markle stuff. Remember when he was criticizing her and then something was deemed racist? So that became an issue on the talk, and this is the leaked audio here. So what you're going to hear, I guess, is Elaine Welteroth, who's caught on this hot mic, and she's sort of reassuring Sharon Osbourne.
Never thought it was going to be that, because you can't, whatever you say, you just look guilty. It's like, and now everybody's going to have that little seed of doubt. Well, you know, maybe she's a bit racist.
It's so
f***ed up. It's so
I just want you to know, Sharon, Cheryl loves you and respects you so much and had your back behind the scenes. She was not trying to attack you. But I also understand when you've had a night long of trolls attacking you online, that puts you in a position where you're just like, you have to defend yourself. You feel like you have to defend yourself. And I know you're upset. I know it was terrible, but I just hope that once this blows over, that you know Cheryl is your friend. She really is your friend. She doesn't think you're racist.
I
don't think you're racist. No one here who knows you would ever say that or think that.
But why couldn't she say, I've known you for 11 years. I know you are not racist, instead of, I don't think you are. No, I know you're not. There's a huge difference.
I guess I could see where Sharon Osbourne is coming from there, but here's a big question. How the hell does that get out?
Thank you.
Right, this went to the Daily Mail, so they released it. How is that even caught on an open mic, Dave? Have you determined that yet?
I have not determined that.
I'm looking through some of the stories here, but I don't see. They have a bunch of the tweets from Elaine Welteroth, which, by the way, I've never heard of that person. Have you?
No, never.
Okay,
I have no idea who that is.
Let's see here. I'm wondering what she's saying.
It almost sounds like that her son, Jack, was in the room, too.
Really?
What makes you say that? Did you hear him
in
there?
That's part of it, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
hear him. It's not the relevant part, but he was in there as well. It sounded like.
So I guess there was some feeling that Sharon Osbourne felt that she was set up on this, and Elaine Welteroth tweets, after seeing footage of Dante Wright's senseless killing and the excessively brutal force used on Lieutenant Nazario, honestly don't have the energy to even address,
blah, blah, blah.
Let's see what she's saying. I'm trying to think here how this plays back in with Sharon Osbourne. I haven't figured that out. But it's interesting that would leak some audio like that from probably a green room or a dressing room or something along those lines.
That's scary.
Yeah, right? Because when you say an open mic, it doesn't sound like you should have an open mic in that particular situation. And then this is fun, so I think you'll find this fun too, even though it's NBA related. I don't know if you watched the NBA
finals last
night.
I do like the NBA, but I know the Bucks came back, and
I thought
of you and your money.
So it was an exciting game. Fear the deer. I tweeted that out to Frank Cusimano. We have milkshakes on the line with Crown Candy Kitchen, but
I do like the phrase "fear the deer."
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then
on
the Twitter hashtag, they have the little deer logo too. Dave, did you watch the game last night?
A little bit.
Do you know how to pronounce Giannis's name? Like the last name?
I don't. I just always finally refer to him as the Greek Freak.
Right. Okay. So the Greek Freak left the floor for a little bit. And the reporters asked him, well, what was going on there? Because they were a little confused.
To be honest, this was the second game in a row you went out early in the first quarter. I'm just curious what was going on there.
I wanted to, what the hell you guys say politely? I wanted to take a tinkle. A tinkle?
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's adorable. Yeah. That's adorable.
I wanted to take a tinkle. It came back. Yeah. That's polite, right?
Tinkle, yes. Polite,
yeah. Oh. Both games. I wanted to take a tinkle to win back.
Look.
I love that.
That's adorable.
As someone who, you know, embraces his small bladder in myself.
And what else can you do, really?
I have respect for that. But I also have wondered that so many times about professional athletes, because you can't tell me that they don't have to do that every once in a while.
Now, sure.
I think with cyclists, this is disgusting.
Oh, they don't even.
Yeah, they just go. They just pee themselves sometimes.
Depending on.
Now, they do have what they call them, nature breaks. So there are things
where you can
on the
get
Tour
off
de France,
the bike and the
right,
men
and everyone
go
sort
in
of
and...
everyone sort of abides by the rules with attacks and stuff with races.
It's not my favorite.
But and then there's an epic video that's somehow out there of something else happening with a legendary cyclist, but I'm not going to get into that because it's super disgusting.
That clip reminds me so much of this was during the 2019 NHL playoffs. Some reporter asked Tarasenko a question about if somebody's play like rubbed off on him. And his answer started with, "What's a rub off mean?" Because he's just, you know, he's not used to that. Right. As a Russian, he's not used to the American phrasing.
Tinkle is not something you probably learn in school.
Right.
The fact that a guy who's 6'11" says tinkle is adorable.
That's
just adorable.
Well, that was a hell of a finish last night. And the Bucks did not have the lead in that game very often at all. A couple of times in the third quarter, I think early fourth quarter, they had tied it. Maybe they went up by one. But it was the last. That's kind of the knock on the NBA, right? You watch the last 2 minutes.
That's all you need.
So the series now goes back to Phoenix for game five. If the Suns would have won that last night, then it's over pretty much because they're three games to one. But now it's 2-2, and they go 1-1-1. So back to Phoenix. There is going to be certainly a game six. I predicted the Bucks in seven. We'll see what happens. Senator Blunt coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk. Get Mark Cox on the line here before the end of the hour. Final plug for the event tonight with Eric Greitens. I'm going to head out there after the show. It's going to be fun. We are joined right now by United States Senator Roy Blunt from Washington. Senator, how are you?
Well, I'm good, Mark. It's great to be talking to you, and I'm glad we're having a chance to visit today.
Well, I played some of the audio yesterday of the minority leader, and he kind of called you into the conversation, too, on the vaccine. So let's start with that, because obviously Missouri has unfortunately been the focus of some of this right now with whatever you want to call it, another wave or the Delta variant taking off. I don't really understand why seemingly politics has gotten involved here. If you look at the polling with who is getting the vaccine and who isn't, but your message is right on target. Maybe you'd like to repeat it this afternoon.
Well, I'd be glad to. And, you know, actually, I've been talking about the vaccine since we began to develop the vaccine in an accelerated way, but a way that has all of the safety standards and all of the other things that go into vaccine approval. And frankly, the warp speed effort that the Congress bought into, that the committee I chair was willing to advocate for, was an incredible effort by the Trump administration. I think if you want to bring politics into this and you want to get a vaccine because you're a big Trump supporter, there's a real important reason to do that. Most of the implementation of this plan is under the Biden administration. If you want to get the vaccine because you're on that side of the political debate, I suppose you could do that. But there really shouldn't be a debate here. The way to end the variants of this virus, the new strains that can emerge, the different variants that can occur, is the vaccine. You know, the one way that the variants will not continue to occur, whether it was the Delta variant or any other variant, is you just don't have enough people who can become a host to the virus for that virus to look for a way to continue to survive. One of the things, Mark, we've seen with this virus is it's not nearly as deadly, for instance, as the SARS virus would have been but it's much more resilient. So it keeps looking for new ways to present itself. It's out there. It's easily transferred from one person to another. And creating that sense of community immunity is really the thing that stops the virus from spreading, because you just don't have enough places for it to land, for it to effectively continue to be able to be out there as part of our community. And so I think vaccine's important. Again, I've been saying that since we started working on the vaccine, but certainly I've been saying that since the first and then the second and then the third vaccine
right.
all became available. I was talking to some people today about the importance of getting this issue as much behind us as we can before school starts. You know, kids that I think the CDC recommendation will be that kids who've had the vaccine don't need to have a mask at school, but also the importance of kids need to be back in school. And one way to do that, and to do that in a more normal way, is to really diminish the odds that even if you get the virus, that you're going to be negatively impacted about it. Remember, no vaccine is 100% assured that you won't get the virus. I think these have been in the 90 to 95% range. That means like 1 out of 10 people that had the vaccine might get the virus. But what we're finding is that the consequences for those people are dramatically different than the consequences for people who haven't had the vaccine. And I think continuing to encourage people to take care of themselves, and while they're doing it, they wind up taking care of their family and their community by becoming part of the protective force against the virus being able to continue to spread. And once it can't spread, it simply goes away.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad that you pointed out, and I would have expected you to, you know, point out Operation Warp Speed and President Trump's involvement, because that is an amazing accomplishment that probably doesn't get enough attention. But that confuses me even more with some of the folks, whether they're in, you know, Southwest Missouri or elsewhere, that, you know, would cite distrust, and I guess our Republicans or conservatives. It's just a little baffling at this point. Look, Roy, I had people calling.
Let's emphasize that again. Without President Trump's leadership and determination on getting this done and having it in production while you're still even waiting for the final approval. So if you do get approval, it's out there immediately, is an incredible thing. Without, we would probably still be 6 months or a year
easily
from the first person able to take the first shot, and that would have been a record. You know, it takes 3 years normally to develop a vaccine, and one reason with this vaccine there's some question about whether you need a booster shot or not is that you watch the 30,000 people you need to watch in each test, but you didn't watch them long enough to know whether it's still effective 3 years later or 2 years later. Because that's the difference in this vaccine. That's the reason it's an emergency approval rather than a normal approval. You just don't have every single question answered, but you do have two questions answered that are important. One is, it's safe. Two is, it stops you from getting the virus, or if you get the virus, it stops the severity of the virus.
It does seem, I took calls on this earlier this week, and it seems people do get hung up on this, you know, notion that the FDA has not approved it, and that leads to the distrust.
Well, it could be. And again, the only difference in the FDA final approval and emergency approval is that you're doing that within the time period where you don't know everything you need to know about whether this is a shot you're going to take once or take multiple times. And so from the moment of FDA approval, the message has always been out there: we don't know yet if you'll need a booster shot. So not fully, that question is not fully answered, but the two questions that were fully answered were safe and effectively combats the virus, either by protecting you from getting it, or if you do get it, the odds of having a severe consequence are dramatically less than if you get it without having the vaccine. In fact, even if you've had COVID, I think the recommendation is to get the vaccine when you're outside the window of COVID is totally out of your system. Go ahead and double protect yourself by getting that shot, which is available almost everywhere. Talking to the director of health and senior services for the state today. I think their belief is that every Missourian is within five miles of a COVID shot. And I think that's right. The problem is, after we saw the situation turn in a good direction, I think a lot of people thought, well, there may be a problem here. Why don't I just let everybody else do this? And if everybody else does it, I won't have a problem.
Yeah, MoStopsCovid.com, as I'm sure you know, MoStopsCovid.com. You can get information and make an appointment. Senator Roy Blunt is with me this afternoon. The Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has set a deadline to deal with the budget package, $3.5 trillion. And I want an update on that. And how does infrastructure tie into all this? Is there going to be some sort of bipartisan agreement on that, or do you think that's still unlikely?
Well, I think it's hard to get a bipartisan agreement, but I think it would be a good thing to have a bipartisan agreement on. Again, President Obama wanted to have a big infrastructure package. We weren't able to get that done. President Trump wanted to have a $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, could never quite seem to get to where we were at the moment to do that. And we all know that our infrastructure, the traditional infrastructure of highways and roads and bridges and airports and ports and water lines, are things we can't do for ourselves, but things that don't last forever and don't serve the purpose forever. So I hope we can get there. But the amount of money that these guys on the other side, Mark, are talking about is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's they're fighting between that they want $3.5 trillion on top of the normal government spending for this special, what they call, human infrastructure package, or should it be $6 trillion? It didn't cost $6 trillion in today's dollars to fight World War II. You know, we have some challenges, but we're not in a World War II challenge situation right now. And that's the level of spending they're talking about. I think when they begin to put the numbers down on paper and Democrats from competitive states begin to look at that and figure out how they're going to explain it at home, it's harder to get 50 Democrats and the vice president to do this than they would think. I do hope that we can figure out how the traditional infrastructure package can be done in a bipartisan way, I'm trying to help with that. But then again, the details take some time.
Right.
And
well,
if
so then
the Majority Leader Chuck Schumer thinks that he's going to get 60 votes to move forward on a bill that's only a series of concepts, of course that's not going to happen.
Right. So I was going to have you explain. I think you got into the procedure there. So the Majority Leader says he wants to set up a vote for next Wednesday. You have to have 60 votes to open the debate. But there's not even a bill that's drafted, right?
That's right. You can't expect members of Congress to vote on a $1 trillion spending package to open a debate on a bill that is non-existent. And this is a big effort. A lot of time is being spent. A lot of effort's being made. It's going to serve the country for a long time if we can get it done. And it's foolish to be in a situation where you have to say, well, we think that's what this bill would cover, or, oh, the whole concept is there for this to be covered. At some point, if you're going to be legislators, you have to have legislative language to put in a bill for the president to sign. And we don't have that language yet, and Senator Schumer needs to figure that out.
How does he not know that he can't get 60 votes on? The math just it doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work. I don't think the math works at all. And certainly there are Republicans are working hard to try to make this happen. But I don't think many of them are willing to go home and explain why they voted to move forward with a bill that didn't exist yet.
Senator Roy Blunt, are you spending a little time with those Texas Democrats drinking Miller Lite?
They have not asked to come by to see me. And the truth is, I haven't asked to go by and see them.
Yeah, what do you think of all that?
Well, in Texas, the legislature, it does take a majority to have a quorum. It takes 2/3 majority. So even though Democrats in Texas are in the minority, by not showing up to do their job, they can stop the session from moving forward. I don't think they have an exit strategy here. So eventually, Governor Abbott is going to call a session. They're not going to be able to avoid going, and we'll see what the Texas legislature decides they want to do about Texas laws.
Well, what and I know that you've been up against this your whole career in politics, but you have a situation where, you know, Democrats are making this out to be something that it's not in Texas. And in this is happening on the critical race theory front as well. I mean, they get out there, say things that aren't true. It's interesting that the media always fact check President Trump and Republicans, but they're constantly misleading people.
Well, the idea that the federal government should take over all the elections of the country just makes no sense in any past view of how we thought the country should run. The Voting Rights Act, which I've supported the extension of in the past, wasn't based on states not having their own laws. It was based on states that had shown violation of other laws would have to get some kind of judicial approval to change the laws. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States decided a couple of years ago we're beyond the time when even that was necessary. But this new idea that laws that would ensure the integrity of what happens on Election Day somehow get in the way of democracy is not a standard that any country in the world meets. None of the NATO countries meet these kinds of standards. People have an election on Election Day. They get to decide in their nation, or in our case, in the state, whether or not you can participate in some way as an absentee voter. But these are decisions much better made close to where people live. You know, in St. Louis County, Missouri, which may be one of the few places in the country that's figured this out, as I understand it, you can go to any polling place on Election Day, and based on your voter ID card, they'll generate a ballot that's the right ballot for you, and that ballot gets counted as it should be. Most other places, you still have to go to the polling place you're supposed to go to and cast your ballot for the people you're supposed to vote for, and not find out later that 10 people that decided a state representative race didn't actually live in that state representative district. This is not that hard to do, and democracy requires some responsibility, but one of the responsibilities is doing what's necessary so that everybody that wants to vote can vote, but also so that everybody has confidence that when the results are announced, whether you like them or not, that you believe that's really what people tried to do based on the laws of your state on the day they voted.
Senator Roy Blunt, always great to have a conversation. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend, and we will talk soon.
Great talk to you, buddy. See you soon.
All right, take care, Roy. George Gray in the house. 97.1 FM Talk. We're going to play The Price is Wrong after the top of the hour. George works with Drew Carey on The Price is Right. He's on hiatus right now. I think he's heading back to Hollyweird next week to start some taping again. We'll find out as he drops in. He'll join us for Sue's News. Sue Thomas,
oh, that's how does
that
great.
Sound? Yeah, we'll get him in here early before The Price is Wrong. I'm heading out after the show to 18th North Central in O'Fallon, Missouri. Mark Cox, is that, because I'm confused, I'm easily confused, that's actually not just an address. That's what the place is called, right?
Yeah, it is, Mark. Thank you. It makes it a lot easier for me to remember, too, as I've been right. Promoting this event, because 18 North Central is the address. It's also the name of the business, a brilliant decision by those folks out there. So it sits just north of the Interstate 70 there, close to Bryan Road.
Yeah, I wanted to get another plug in here for you, because these are going to be fun moving forward. You're going to visit with all of the, you know, Senate entrants. We don't know how many will be there, but Eric Greitens is first up tonight.
He is. And here's the thing. I mean, you and I have been doing this for a long time. The confines, your clock is a little longer than mine. Most of my segments in the morning are, I don't know, 6 to maybe 10 minutes long. And you can get someone on, and you can try to drill down on a few questions in that period of time. But it's tough to get in depth and for people to really get to know these candidates. So we decided we're going to dedicate an hour to each one of them, one-on-one. Ask questions, ask uncomfortable questions, and let people come and sit in the audience and get a feel for which one of these folks they want to support in this Republican primary. And like you said, Eric Greitens just happened to be up first by the luck of the draw. Vicky Hartzler, Mark McCloskey, and the Schmidt campaign have all committed to a similar event in the coming months.
So what time is it all going to get started? I had Senator Lamping text me earlier today and said, hey, because he knew I was going out there, I think he's going to join me as well. He's known Eric for a long time. What time do you think you'll get started?
Yes. Yeah, so the doors open at 6. Well, there's an event space up there upstairs in that building, and that's where we're going to meet. So the doors open at 6. It's open to the public, so we're urging people. It's first come, first serve in terms of getting in and getting a seat. We'll probably start our conversation with Governor Greitens around 6:40, maybe 6:45, depending on the crowd.
Yeah.
And we're going to go for about an hour. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I was hoping for that because I want to make sure I'm there in time, and probably going to take me a little bit with traffic. Sue will guide me in, though. And if I have to, I'll steal the electronic bike because that is we had a little fun with her electronic bike earlier this afternoon, Mark. Well, I look forward to the conversation. I've known the former governor for a long time. I used to work with him with The Mission Continues, and I think it's great to have an event like this where people can come out. Are you going to take questions from the audience as well? Or I guess the better question
Yeah, we are. We're going to give people an opportunity to jot down their questions when they come upstairs at the event, and then we're gonna present some of those to the governor tonight. And it's the mechanics of something like this, walking around with a microphone and trying to record the whole thing. We're gonna try to determine the best way to do that when we get over there this evening.
What are the people called?
And to ask him those questions.
Mark,
yeah.
Do you know what the people? Because I used to go to these events, and I remember going to a lot of these events for Eric when he was running for governor. And they always had—I'm not sure what the people are called—but the other campaigns always have someone there. That so usually this is the other side, like the Democrats, but they're always filming and monitoring and looking for mistakes. Have you ever heard about? There's a term for them. They kind of shadow the candidates. Mm. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm. Well, I have heard that, and I've certainly seen that done before. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there are a lot of people that feel passionate about Governor Greitens' candidacy, whether pro or con,
right, because
of what all he went through. So I wouldn't be surprised. We're prepared for something like that if it happens, but. I would not be surprised if you don't encounter something like that.
All right, look,
I hope not.
Have fun. I'm looking forward to the conversation. Get started at 6 o'clock, 18th North Central in O'Fallon, and then everything gets kind of rolling with some questions. 6:40, they'll go for an hour. Mark, I'll see you tonight.
All right, Mark, thank you.
All right, that'll be great. Looking forward to it, and we'll keep you posted and kind of report back tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow we have a Reardon Roundtable in the 3 o'clock hour. Jane Duker will be here, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and Gene Evans, the former executive director for the Missouri GOP. Dan Buffa is going to be here on movies. We might have to go over some of those Emmy nominations with Mr. Buffa as well. And then Cusimano, I'm kind of excited because I'm even 2-2 on this NBA Finals bet since the Bucks won last night. He's been talking a little trash, that Cusimano. I think he felt like he had that thing safely in hand, and he does not. Fear the deer.
Fear the deer. Is there a game tonight or no?
No, you know, it's weird. Now they have like 3 nights off, so there's not a game until Saturday.
Are they traveling?
They are, but still, do you need 3 nights off to go to Phoenix?
Get paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it's game 5, Saturday night, Phoenix.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.